Bibles, it's all over the sanctuary, whether it's printed or digital format. Would you hold your Bibles up in the air, please? Amen. Hallelujah. Please turn in the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. If you're using a pew Bible this morning, one of our Bibles from the pew in front of you. And if you're not familiar with 2 Timothy, it's page 1827. You know, today's message, appropriate for the end of the year, is called Finishing Well. I believe we all want to finish well, amen? We don't want to, I don't know about you, I don't want to limp across God's door. I want to burst across. I want to burst into heaven with a full head of steam built up, amen? And so, appropriately, for the end of the year, we are preaching on a message called Finishing Well. Next week, for the beginning of the year, we'll just preach on a message called Starting Well. And to get us off to a good foot on the new year, we have a lot going on here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And brother, for those of you in the back, if you ever cannot hear me, just raise your hand up and I will speak a little louder. Believe me, I got it in me. Amen. If you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, please say amen.
Amen.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the glory for your word. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, will you be able to say about your life what Paul said to Timothy about his? In other words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, Paul did not say that. He did not write that to brag to Timothy about all of his accomplishments. That was not Paul's goal. He wasn't after Timothy's admiration. Paul, if you follow him through the Scriptures, was singularly focused on not caring what people thought about him. He cared what they thought about the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not after Timothy's admiration. Earlier, in the first letter he sent to Timothy, he acknowledged, after all, you can mark this in your notes, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he acknowledged that of all the sinners, he was the greatest. Paul said, in other words, I've got issues too. Amen? I believe we all have issues in our lives. If you do this, look to your left or look to your right, people are sitting there and say, you have nothing, not you have. Say, I have issues. That's probably the first time we've said that in a long time. Amen? We all have issues. Paul was quick to admit his weaknesses. He was quick to admit his failings. Something seldom seen these days. It appears in modern society, it is almost impossible to get someone to say that they were wrong. To admit that. And you know, at the same time, Paul urgently called all believers, including Timothy, to spiritual endurance. I want you to think of verse 7 reading something like this. Timothy, my son in Christ, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. You know, one of the things that I love doing is sitting around with young folks and sharing the Scripture. Allowing young people to ask all the questions they want to ask. I think that's a good thing, amen?
Amen.
You know, these days it's tough just being a good kid. It's difficult just being a good young person in America today. They have so much pressure from all over the world, all over our country, for them to do this, for them to do that. For you know, people say, it's okay if you do that, when clearly God's Word says in certain circumstances, it is not okay to do those things. You know, we are to follow the Word of God. Paul was Timothy's spiritual mentor. And he was encouraging Timothy to endure and his commitment to Christ. That's what a mentor does. It trains up a young person in the way in which they should go. Each and every Christian should have someone that they are mentoring. If you may say, well, Pastor Larry, I haven't been a Christian all that long. Well, there's still someone who's a brand new baby Christian, amen, that needs someone like you. After all, church, who is it that knows the most unbelievers? Is it the people in the church, or is it a brand new baby Christian that just came to church? The baby Christian, of course. They are the ones that are the closest to the world. They are the ones that have been most recently saved from the world. And Paul wanted Timothy to finish well. And that is my desire for my life as well. To finish well. And it's my deepest concern for your life as well. Emmanuel Baptist Church. Listen, folks. Anybody can fake the Christian life for a little bit of time. Anyone can fake it for a few weeks or a few months. Especially when things are going well. When things are going well, it's easy to fake it. It's easy to be a quote-unquote good Christian when things are going well. But it takes an eye to verse 7 to live out our faith. To hang in there when things get tough. And the question is, do you want to live a life for Christ that sparkles like diamonds? If the answer is yes, I remind you that it's been said that diamonds are nothing else, nothing other than chunks of coal that stuck to the job. They hung in there when the pressure came on. And coal condensed down under immense pressure becomes diamonds. You see, they had what Chuck Swindoll, a great preacher I admire greatly, calls stick-to-itiveness. You stick to it when things get tough. You stick by the Word of God when things are difficult, when it's not popular. You know, it's one thing to make a good beginning. It's quite another to endure the trials of life and to finish well. I read about a boxer some years ago who was really good. He was heavily favored to win a fight. And just before the opening round, his manager gave him some last-minute exhortation. And he said, listen to me, I want you to get to it right away. When the bell rings, I want you to jump up. I want you to run across the ring. I want you to catch him before he can even get his dukes up. Go get him. Be aggressive. The bell rang. The fighter jumped up. He took two quick steps. He tripped. He crashed to the floor. He hit his chin. He knocked himself out cold. The referee counted to 10. The fight was over. He started well. But he did not endure to the finish. Amen?
Amen?
There are some believers just like that. They get saved. They hear the exhortations of Christ. They jump out. They want to be involved with the ministry. They want to be involved with the things of God. And life gives them a big punch right square on the chin. And they cave. They need to be prepared. Amen?
Amen.
See, folks, there are some folks who flame out as new Christians in a matter of weeks or months. They don't hang in there. But there are others, I'm looking at a bunch of them right now, who are faithful. And you couldn't ruffle their feathers with a baseball bat. You couldn't ruffle their feathers if electricity went out. You couldn't ruffle their feathers if we're used to seeing the songs on the screen and look how beautiful those frames are, aren't they? But you know what? God gave us voices for a reason.
Amen.
To praise and to glorify Him.
Amen.
And you need to have stick-to-itiveness. You need to hang in there in spite of circumstances. Many people forget where Paul was when he was writing this message. He was sitting in a dungeon in Mamertine prison, a Roman jail. He's facing the capital charge of insurrection against the Roman government. He has had his preliminary hearing before Caesar. And the Caesar that he went before was Nero. Lest you forget who that is, Nero is the Caesar that used Christians hanging on lampposts in the streets of Rome to light the streets. He's already been pronounced guilty. He's just awaiting the sentence. Well, the sentence for guilty only had one outcome. Death by execution. Now, Paul was a Roman citizen. He would have been beheaded. And he was, as the tradition holds. How soon was Paul going to be killed? No one really knows, but it's felt, tradition holds, that it was within hours of finishing this epistle. Within hours, he was taken out. And what would have happened is Paul would have been taken out of that prison and taken to the outskirts of Rome, because they wanted people to see it as they came into and out of Rome. He would have been put in a little box, a little cage overnight. And then in the following morning, he would have been taken out. They would have bent Paul over a block and beat him with rods one final time. And as Paul was there, going through this, I'm sure groaning with the pain inflicted upon that, he remembered the church. He remembered Timothy. He remembered each and every one of us. Then Paul would have been taken from that position, put onto the chopping block. And when the sword was raised, or the axe was raised and came down, his head would have left his body. And in that instant, Paul's soul would have been set free. It would have soared into the heavens to be at the right hand of his Lord Jesus Christ. See, that pain was but for a moment. But Paul knew what was coming. He knew that heaven awaited him. Paul knew that the end of his life upon earth in this book was soon at hand. This is the reason he's passed the banner of the gospel over to Timothy. Amen? That he is mentoring Timothy. That is my hope. That is my desire. That's why we have associate pastors within this church. It's why we focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ every single Sunday. It's why we let everyone know that there is but one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because God says so. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Finish it with me, church. "No one comes to the Father except through me." Give God praise in His house. Hallelujah. This old school stuff I'm preaching now, y'all. Let's go get it here. And so the reason that he had just given Timothy this most awesome, incredible charge to preach the gospel, the charge to preach the Word of God, the charge to minister to a world that is lost and dying, a world that is really under the weight of so many desperate needs, he called upon Timothy to go forth and preach the gospel with all of the might and all of the commitment of his being. We are to do that today. If you are sitting here today and you are not a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to know that we are not trying to trick you. We're telling you flat out, you need Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. If you're watching on the internet, you need Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. There is nothing else that will get you into heaven. Your good deeds will not get you there. The Word of God says that our good deeds are what? Filthy rags. And so now Paul is encouraging Timothy, even in discussing his own coming death. He wants Timothy to look ahead to the end of his own life. He wants Timothy to be able to bear the same testimony as what Paul has written here. Paul's testimony is a challenge to each and every person here today. Whether you're sitting here now, or watching on the internet, or you're watching a taped version of this message, Paul's testimony is a challenge to us all. So I have three quick points for today. We're going to preach them. We're going to sing. We're doing the invitation. We're going to have a baby dedication. And then we're going to go home and watch and eat some food. Amen? Amen? Point number one. If you have your notes in front of you, say amen.
Amen.
We look at Paul's consecrated. Consecrated. C-O-N-S-E-C-R-A-T-E-D. Paul's consecrated life to Christ. Look at verse 6 again. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul says that his life is being offered and sacrificed to God in one last act, his very own death. What a view of death. What an image of what death is. You see, Paul sees his death as an offering to God. An offering of a life well pleased. A sacrifice to his God that he presented. What is this all about? Him being a drink offering. Well, you see, a drink offering sacrifice to God was done when a person took up a cup of wine or oil and they poured out every last drop. They turned the cup upside down and poured out every last drop as an offering to the Lord. You see, that's what God does to us. What does Ephesians say? For by grace you've been saved through faith. Amen?
Amen.
But for God to fill our lives with grace, He must first pour out His mercy upon us. God pours out His mercy so He can pour grace back into our lives. And Paul is saying, I have poured out my life as a drink offering to you. Your mercy and your grace sustain me. And don't miss this. The drink offering symbolizes as well the Lord Jesus Christ pouring out His soul, pouring out His life, dying on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. Christ died for everyone, but more importantly than that, Christ died for me.
Amen.
Make it personal. Christ died for me.
Amen.
He knows what I am. He knows what I've done. And yet when I ask for forgiveness, Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I said, save me, Lord, for myself, I'll do it. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord today. I don't know where you're at in your walk without the Lord today. But here's what I do know. There is no hole so deep that Christ's love is not deeper still.
Amen.
Wherever you are at, Christ will save you. And Paul sees his death as an offering to the Lord. Paul is saying, I'm pouring out my soul through death for the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of my body, the blood of my body, is sacrificed for the preaching of the Word of God. I'm laying down my life as an offering for Christ Jesus my Lord. I am having the blessings. I am having the offering and the ability to die for my Christ. What a way to give back to the Lord. To go to it fearlessly. To go to it with a full heart. Isn't that great? In other words, going before the Lord, knowing that He's going to do it. Paul went there with the fullness of heart, saying, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to allow me to die for you. Take my life as my drink offering to you. I'm pouring it all out. There's nothing left. That's what I want, Lord. Paul also says that his departure is at hand. And it's an interesting word there. I'm going to give you a Greek lesson, but I'm not going to use Greek words, so relax. Because there's several meanings here of the word that's used for departure. First, it can be used as a picture of a ship weighing anchor and setting sail to another port. Well, Paul is, after all, letting go of the anchors and the ropes of this world and setting sail for heaven. Amen? But that word departure is also a picture of breaking camp. All right, how many campers and hunters do I have in the sanctuary here? We have them on the way back to home. All right. He's probably making sure the place doesn't burn down. That's quite all right. But that word is also a picture of breaking camp. For our hunters and our campers, you know what this means. Leaving a roughing it place, leaving a camp, a roughing it place, and this is for the benefit of my wife only, a roughing it place is not a middle scale hotel. All right, roughing it is like out in the woods. All right, leaving a roughing it place and heading for the comforts of home. That's what departure means there. Paul is headed home as well, to Christ. But this word departure has one more meaning as well. It's the image of unyoking of an animal from the burden of the plow or the cart. Paul is being released and set free for the pastures and the still waters and rest in heaven for all of eternity. He set aside the yoke of this world and he's heading for heaven. So first point, Paul's consecrated life to Christ. Point number two, Paul's controlled life for Christ. Controlled, as in to exert control over things. Amen?
Amen.
This verse is just full of meaning. Look at verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, it is obvious that there are three subpoints there. Amen? And how about that? I happen to have three subpoints right here as well. You see, Paul glances back over his life and he uses three pictures to describe his life. The picture of a soldier, the picture of an athlete, and the picture of a steward or a manager. First, he lived his life as a faithful soldier of Christ. He's responded to Christ's call in his life. He has volunteered to serve Christ. He has separated himself from worldly things, and he's been totally committed to his mission. He has weathered attacks by the enemy, and as a soldier, has stuck to his mission. Therefore, he is being released from his service as a soldier and is headed home to live in peace for all eternity with his Lord. You know, people say all the time, Pastor Larry, what's heaven going to be like? Will there be streets of gold? Yes, there will be streets of gold. Will there be walls of diamonds? Yes, there will be walls of diamonds. Are you excited about those things? Not really. I'm excited because heaven is where Jesus is.
Amen.
That's what I'm excited about.
Amen.
I'm excited about seeing my Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's Paul. He's going to go live in peace forever. So you see the aspect of the soldier. But there's also the athlete. He has finished the race. No athlete decides to run in a race and say, what are you entering? 10K. I'm entering a 10K race. That sounds great. Yeah, I think I'll quit at 1K. No, amen? You entered in order to finish the race. And he controlled himself as an athlete would so he could run the race. Let me share something with you guys. You can't run the race. Don't look at me right now. You can't run the race if you haven't trained for it. And you can't answer the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're out and about on Friday and Saturday night doing things no Christian should be doing. Young people, look up here. All of my young folks, if you're under 30 years old, that's you. We know that you are under enormous pressure in the world. But let me share this with you. Nothing good happens outside your home after midnight. You need to be home. You need to be getting your rest. You need to be living the life of a Christian young person. To be that example to the world.
Amen.
To show people that there is joy in being a Christian.
Amen.
There is truth in being a Christian. There is great joy and hope and the ability to live a full life in Christian. Being a Christian. I want to say something now. You guys are a hoot at our parties. I just want to say that. You know, people say, well, then ask of my wife, myself, well, wait a minute. When you guys have your parties, or we call them fellowships, there's no drinking? No drinking. What do? Wait for it. Well, we talk with each other. We look at each other. We reminisce. We remember things that are joyful, things that are humorous. We remember the first time that Pastor Larry preached without a jacket at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Oh, bless your heart. All right, that's extra points in heaven right there. If you try to make points with the pastor, you just did. That's that young man I baptized recently. Him and I looked like we were stuck in a phone booth back there. I preached my way right off of my nose here. Amen. That water got me so excited. But anyway, he controlled himself as an athlete so he could run the race. Young people, control yourselves as an athlete for Christ.
Amen.
What you will get from Christ in your life is so much more than what you can get from the world.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, you know, Paul focused on the course of life, on how he ran. He wasn't distracted by the things of the world. He wasn't distracted by the spectators. He wasn't distracted by anything but the cause of Christ. He focused on the finish line. And finally, he kept the faith. He's a good manager of the faith of God. He had looked after his faith just like a good steward looks after the estate of the master. The Lord Jesus had entrusted the faith to Paul, and Paul was completely faithful to the Lord. Just think of all the things that Paul went through, and still he kept the faith. What things? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to move now. I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're using a Pew Bible and you're unfamiliar with where that's at, it's in page 1785. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22. If you're there in a paper Bible, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to give a few more amens before I proceed. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen.
Amen.
Reading 22 through 28. Are they Hebrews? So are they. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In death, often. From the Jews, five times I received the 40 stripes, minus one. The beating that Christ got before he went to the cross of Calvary. Paul is saying, I've had that five times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern, what? For all the churches. He's concerned. He's going, these other things that I've gone through, what I'm really concerned about is not those things. My concern is for my flock. My concern is for the sheep. And by the way, after going through all that, later on, Paul tells the Lord, Lord, I've got this thorn in my side. Three times he asked the Lord to remove it. And what did the Lord say? No, my grace is sufficient for you. And because Paul had been faithful, it was time for him to bear the fruit of his labor. Not only that, Paul was given all the rights and privileges of the Lord's estate for running the race, for keeping the faith. He is, after all, one of the king's kids.
Amen.
Look around this sanctuary. Look around right now, the sanctuary. This is the king's kid. You are not what you think you are. You are royalty. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Royal blood flows through your veins. When you walk out the doors and you declare the name of Jesus Christ, every demon in Broward County flees at the sound of that name. Hallelujah. Give him praise in his house. And by the way, if you are the redeemed of Christ, you are special.
Amen.
And we want, if you are not one of the redeemed of Christ, we want you to become special. So not only Paul's consecrated life to Christ, Paul's controlled life to Christ, now we are going to see Paul's compensation from Christ. Paul's compensation from Christ. Verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Don't miss that last part. Also to all who have loved his appearing. Let me just clear something up real quick. Even though this is Paul's consecration for Christ, I want you to understand this. From the soles of your shoes to the crown of your head, God owes us nothing. Nothing. It is God's mercy and God's grace that allows us to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what is Paul's reward? It is a crown of righteousness. Imagine that there is a crown There is a crown that a person can receive which makes them acceptable to God. No person can ever be accepted by God unless, friends, he is crowned with righteousness. Because God is perfect and God is holy. And only perfection can live in the presence of God. You see, Paul was to receive the crown of righteousness because he had given his life to be a soldier of Christ and his well warfare, to be an athlete for Christ and his cause, to be a steward of faith for Christ. Think about it. Paul's crown of righteousness makes him righteous and perfect so that he can live eternally in the presence of God. What a contrast with the crowns and trophies these days. How many of us have an I love me wall at home? It's got your football trophy, your softball trophy. Nobody. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Here's what I found out about those trophies of my football days. The further away I am from those football days, the better I was. Think about it. You'll get it in just a second. The further away I am in years from those days, the better I was as a football player. Amen? You didn't have to say it like that. Two more things and we're done. First, the crown of righteousness will be given by the Lord, the righteous judge. God is the only judge he's the only judge that knows the truth about everyone. Therefore, God and God alone can judge justly and righteously. Here's what that means with what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm good to go. I'm redeemed of Christ. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I can stand in front of the Father in perfect righteousness. I'm good to go. Friends, the Lord knows our heart. And He has seen every man and every woman's heart. Every day, every hour, every minute of their life. In fact, He's seen every act. He's heard every word. He knows every thought that every person has ever done and spoken. There is nothing that we do in our lives that is hidden from the Lord. He knows it all.
Amen.
The Lord knew all about Paul, who had previously been Saul. And yet, He saved him. And God knows all about you. And yet, He has saved you. Or He's willing to save you. He knew that Paul had been a good soldier for Christ. Have you been a good soldier for Christ? He knew that Paul had been a good athlete and a good steward for Christ. Have you been a good athlete and a good steward for Christ? Listen, friends. The Lord is righteous and the Lord is just. He is the Lord and there is none other. And Paul knew that the Lord is faithful. That's number one. Second, the crown will be given to all who love and look for the Lord's appearing. Look up here now. Hang in there. We're running a race. We're getting to the finish line. I don't want you guys, if you're getting warm, get those fans going fast. The crown will be given to all who love and look for the Lord's appearing. This is a striking truth. Who is it that loves the Lord's appearance? The person that loves the Lord Himself. The only way that you can look for and love His appearing is if you love Him, if you love Jesus Himself.
Amen.
Who is it that loves the Lord? It's the person that truly believes in the Lord Jesus and has received His salvation, the free gift that He has provided. Who is a true believer? The person who has committed his life to be a soldier of Christ and His mission. To be an athlete for Christ and His court. To be a steward for Christ and His faith. That is the person who loves and looks for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the person, the one that has done those things, that shall receive the crown of righteousness. Listen to me for just another moment. I know that I want to finish well this year. I am sure you want to finish well as well. But if we truly believe in the promises of heaven through Christ Jesus our Lord, should we not live our lives as soldiers of Christ here at Emmanuel? Should we not live as athletes running the race? Should we not do so as good stewards of the faith that the Lord has given to us? So how do we make a difference in our world? Live a holy life. Live a life separated from this world. You have to go share the gospel. You have to interact with the world. But you can be, you don't have to be of the world. Amen?
Amen.
So do that. Live a holy life. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your spouse. Be the one at the office that refuses to cheat. Be the neighbor that acts neighborly. Be the employee that does the work and doesn't complain. Because they know that working hard for their boss brings glory to God. Pay your bills. Do your part and enjoy life. Don't speak one message and live another. The reason I stand here today is because when I decided to rededicate my life to Christ, there were men in the church at that time that were exactly how they were at church, away from church. They did not change. They were godly men. They didn't speak one thing and live another. Friends, people are watching the way that we act more than they are listening to what we say. I'm going to say that one more time. I worked hard on that. People are watching the way that we act more than they are listening to what we say. Be a soldier for Christ. Run the race. Finish well. Listen to me. Look up here. Because God loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 3, that God knows the numbers in your head. If He knows the numbers of the hairs in your head, can you not trust Him with the rest of your life? There are many reasons that God saves us. He does it to bring glory to Himself, to appease His justice, to demonstrate His sovereignty. But the sweetest reason that God saved you is simple. He loves you. There is no other love like that. God loves you. He loves having you around. He loves hearing from you. He loves it when you sing. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a billfold, your picture would be in His wallet. He'd be the guy that says, "Hey, look at the kids here." Hold up the grandkids and the children. God sends flowers every spring. He sends sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, He wants to listen. He could live anywhere that He wants. But where He wants to live is in your heart. Face it. It's a fact. God is crazy about you. And He wants you to finish well. And all of God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Good job, praise God. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you guys to look up here for just a moment. Brother Roger, make sure everything's running well back there. I know it's running well, but yes, he's waving at me back there. Listen, friends. If you came here today without Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if something happened while we were here, and you received Christ, you knew that you were different in a second, I want you to know that you're already saved. There's nothing that can change that. But we're going to formalize it in just a moment. I'm going to lead you into the sinner's prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you may also be one of those folks that slipped a little bit in your life, and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. So I'm going to help you pray about that. You may be one of those folks that say, "Hey, Emmanuel Baptist Church, these folks are okay. I love them. I want to be a part of this membership." In just a few moments, when we do an invitation, we're going to ask that if you received Christ for the first time, or you rededicated your life, or you want to be a member of this church, or you've never been baptized by immersion and you want to be baptized, for you to come forward at the invitation. Amen?
Yes.
All over the sanctuary. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you receive Jesus Christ for the first time today, I want you to know that you're already saved. But let's formalize that, shall we? Repeat these words quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, today I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came from heaven to earth in human form. I believe you lived a perfect and sinless life. Because of that perfect and sinless life, I believe you went to the cross to die for my sins. I believe you died. They took you down from that cross, placed you in the grave, where you remained for 3 days. But on the third day, you rose again to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because you have defeated death in the grave, today I receive you as my Lord. I confess I am a sinner. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And I will live for you to the best of my ability all the days of my life. For those of you that are here today that are saved or redeemed, but you've been floating on the edges for a while, just repeat this in your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm one of the King's kids. But today and going forward, I want to run this race well. I want to finish it. I want to be your soldier. I want to be your athlete. I want to be a good steward of what you've given me. So, Lord Jesus, today, from this day forward, I recommit my life to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. And we're going to stand and sing on the invitation. If you would, please stand. What I don't want you to do is leave. This is the most important moment of the week. And our praise team sings a song of invitation. If you are in any one of those categories, new believer, rededication of life, the need for baptism by immersion, or you want to be members in this church and you're already the redeemed of God, we want you to come. Whatever God has called you to do, come. Never say no when God says go. As our praise team sings, you come.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Overwhelmed by the weight of sin, Jesus is calling.
Lord Jesus going to the cross of Calvary to die for us. Father, we thank you for the decisions that have been made today, whether they were here in this sanctuary or around the world in our global ministry. Father, we thank you for those that have come today to praise and glorify you. But more than anything else, Father, we give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Give God praise.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.